just another cybersecurity ransom on a long holiday weekend. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler and for David Brancaccio. The hackers behind a massive worldwide cyber attack now have a new demand. Apparently, they want $70 million. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer has more.
The hackers, known as the R-Evil Gang, now say they'll unscramble all affected computers in exchange for $70 million. Last week, R-Evil attacked the software vendor Kaseya. Kaseya offers remote IT management services to multiple customers. Businesses in about a dozen different countries were affected, including financial services, travel, and leisure companies. Initially, R-Evil was demanding ransoms from each of its victims, but now it says it'll offer a universal decryptor software key if it gets the $70 million. President Biden says the companies targeted in this latest attack should contact the FBI. He says it's not clear yet if Russia is involved. Biden met with Russian President Vladimir Putin last month. He says he told Putin the U.S., quote, will respond if Russia is involved in any cyber attacks. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are closed in observance of the Independence Day holiday. Oil prices are up on both standard indices. West Texas Intermediate sits at $75.35 and Brent crude at $76.30 a barrel. The FTSE in London is up 0.25%. The German DAX is down about 0.2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is down almost 0.6%. The Biden administration has specifically targeted offshore wind power expansion as a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, calling for up to 2,000 turbines in the water by 2030. A couple of months ago, regulators approved the very first commercial-scale offshore wind project off the coast of Massachusetts, one of 14 projects being considered off the Atlantic coast. But as Harriet Jones of Connecticut Public Radio reports, some ocean users have concerns about the massive steel turbines invading their space, specifically the multi-million dollar commercial fishing industry in New England. 52.
Cotton sacks filled with shucked scallops hit the scale at a dockside warehouse in Stonington. They're being offloaded from the Furious, a scallop boat just back from a 12-day trip. Up in the wheelhouse, owner Joe Gilbert shows me where in the future this same trip might be a lot more difficult to navigate.
This entire area here is slated to be a wind farm. It's an area larger than the state of Rhode Island.
A fishing advocacy group, the Responsible Offshore Development Alliance, says fishing vessels could strike one of the massive wind farm turbines in bad weather. The spinning blades interfere with the radar they use to find their catch. And fishermen like Gilbert worry that the structures will alter the ocean ecosystem.
And we're racing forward without the proper science to evaluate if this is good or if this is bad.
But there is research from Europe, says Amanda Lefton, director of the Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy Management.
While offshore wind is new to us in the United States, it's certainly not a new technology in other places.
The federal agency is in charge of leasing tracts of the ocean for wind projects.
As we actually seek to look at what will we actually lease, we're even further narrowing those areas to do our best to avoid conflicts with ocean users.
Ørsted, a Danish giant in the wind farm business, recently signed an agreement with one fishing industry group to help with research as the wind farms are built out. And John O'Keefe, Ørsted's head of marine affairs, says the wind industry has made concessions on the siting of turbines.
The spacing that is agreed to is the largest spacing in the world. One nautical mile spacing. It does not exist anywhere else.
But the coexistence of these two industries is still in doubt. In its part of a recent approval of one project, the Federal Army Corps of Engineers said the difficulty of navigation means it's likely commercial fishing will be abandoned within the new wind farms. Back in Stonington, that's exactly what Joe Gilbert fears.
This is an existential threat to us.
Some Atlantic Coast wind farm companies are in talks to establish compensation funds for economic damage to commercial fisheries. In Connecticut, I'm Harriet Jones for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Many U.S. theme parks, including Disney and Universal Studios, are open again. During the pandemic, operators made changes to follow public health rules like plastic barriers, reduced capacity, and social distancing. But they also included more touchless technology and mobile transactions. So now that parks are ramping back up, will that technology stick around? Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
University of Central Florida hospitality professor Carissa Baker has been to 16 theme parks since they've reopened. Hey, it's for research. And she saw lots of touch-free and mobile interactions for things like advanced ride signups.
You have to take out your cell phone and then you need to click really, really fast and hope that you can get a boarding group for that day.
Some theme parks started mobile service years ago, but the pandemic put it to the test, Baker says, though not all visitors are used to the new systems.
So it has been a little jarring to some people to realize, oh, I'm now interacting with my cell phone to do things that maybe in the past I interacted with a live person.
Face-to-face service isn't completely gone, says theme park consultant John Gerner, especially for smaller parks that didn't have the tech infrastructure earlier.
If they weren't already at some level of adoption, it would have been difficult for theme parks to make the investment.
Gerner says parks were seeing a record number of visitors just before the pandemic, but likely won't get back there until 2023. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
Jeff Bezos is stepping down as the boss of Amazon today, exactly 27 years after he founded it. But don't worry, he's got other stuff going on. The billionaire and his brother Mark will be on board his space exploration company Blue Origin's first crewed flight on July 20th. I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.